the kavanah, how to have kavanah when a person davens. And I began to speak about the meaning of tefillah b'tzibur. You mentioned that the Gemara says in Brachas that one should always join the tzibur because Hashem always listens to the tefillah of a tzibur. There's a haftacha that the tzibur, their tefillahs will always be answered. The last thing I said, I mentioned from the Brisker Rav and from the Meshech Chachma, a pasuk in Vayichi, where Yosef was given an extra portion over and above his brothers. The pasuk says, "Vani nasati l'cha shchem achad al achecha, asher lakachti miyadu emori v'chavir v'kashti." Hashem gave, through, of course, Yaakov, Yosef was given an extra portion, Shchem, the city of Shchem, Nablus, I mentioned, that Yaakov said that I captured v'chavir v'kashti with my sword and with my bow and arrow. So we mentioned Targum Onkelos, if you recall. Targum Onkelos says over there that one refers to Tzlusa, that's Harbi, and Berusi refers to Kashti. What's the distinction? So we said because Tefillah B'Tzibur is likened to a sword. The moment you pull the sword out of its scabbard, and the moment you actually go ahead and utilize the sword, it can be quite effective. You can actually pierce a person's body and, shall we say, do them in, as it were. Vasheki with a keshet, a bow and arrow, depending on how taut the bow and arrow are, correct? Depending on how taut you're able to, the kind of strength you can muster and expend, that's the effectiveness of a keshet. So that's what the Brisker Rav and Meshech Chachma know, that Tefillah B'Tzibur is likened to a sword. If you join the Tzibur, you are assured that your Tefillah will be answered. You're part of a Tzibur. Mashenkein, if you are simply acting on your own, then Hashem is going to examine you and see where you're holding. And generally speaking, often, an individual doesn't have all the necessary zchuyot, all the merit that's required in order that his tefillah should be accepted. So it's far better to do what? To join the tzibur. But I just want to mention something that I did not mention yesterday. Shalom Aleichem. How are you?
Good.
Baruch Hashem. You're looking very cheerful today. That's great. So there's a Gemara in Brachas. I want to mention this Gemara. And this Gemara I saw quoted by the Emek Bracha, one of the great Gadolei Yisrael, called the Emek Bracha. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, a Rav Velma Soloveitchik. So he refers to a Gemara, which is very fascinating. The Gemara seems to imply not what I told you. Namely, the Gemara says in Daf Zayin Brachas, only you will be aware of this Gemara. The Gemara tells us over there, in a conversation with Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman was asked, why did you daven b'tzibur? Why did you come to daven b'tzibur? Why did you join us in Tefillah B'Tzibur? So he said, I wasn't able to. He had some, shall we say, pressing preoccupation that impeded on his ability to go ahead and join B'Tzibur. So they said, why don't you gather 10 people and daven where you are? So he said, it's a tircha, tricha l'milsa. It was not so difficult for me to do that. It was not so easy for me to do that. So if Tefillah B'Tzibur is such a lofty notion, what kind of a response is that? Tvicha l'milsa. It's a tircha. It's too much for me. So apparently, we have to assume that, and that's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch actually. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tzadik, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is, Mishtad el Adam, Lispal of Misakneset. One should try very hard to daven shul. That doesn't sound like it's a chiyuv, correct? That's what the Emek Bracha writes in his Sefer. However, Hagoyim Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal points out that this is not correct. Moshe Feinstein knows that he writes in the Igros Moshe from the Gemara Psochim, the Gemara in Daf Mevav, the Gemara in Chulin, the Kuf Chabez, it's called the Shulchan Aruch actually right over there, that let's say a person is on the road, so the din is that a person is obligated in order to daven b'tzibur to walk a certain distance. The Gemara says you have to walk actually dalad midim lefanov, and even if it means going back, because the shul is behind you, up to a meal in order to daven b'tzibur. So what do you see? It's a chiyuv. It's a very significant obligation that a person should have the tzibur, and therefore, when the Rambam says, I'm just letting them finish the point. The Rambam said that in tzibur, a person's tefillahs are always answered. Hashem always answers the tefillahs of someone who joins the tzibur, and the fact of the matter is that this is generally what's assumed kimat by Rov HaPoskim, namely that davening the tzibur is something which is critical. Yes.
I mean, if you doubt it, a bigger tzibur than just 10 that you get.
You are saying something very significant. And that's called, what is that concept that you are articulating so beautifully called?
Berovam.
Wow.
What is it?
Berovam, in the multitude of the Nation is the glory of the king. So it's better to have a larger minion, one larger minion, than say 5 minion that split the five groups. Because there is such a notion, such a concept, which is called an halacha, and a very important concept. Anyway, my point in all this is simply that despite what the Emek Bracha says, and the Diyuk HaMek's and Lashon of the Mechaber, but Hagana Moshe Feinstein and many others also indicate that the word Yishtadel, correct, does not necessarily always mean it's an option. Even though the language of the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch is Yishtadel, that once you try, the Dab Mitzvah, you have the term found elsewhere. Namely, Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam talks about an Isur called Nosa. What does Nosa mean? To leave over a Korban after it's appointed Zman Achila. So then, what is the halacha? What? Correct? Depends on the Korban. But the halacha is, I'm sorry? Korban Pesach, excellent. That's exactly what I'm referring to. So there's a Rambam. The Rambam writes over there, Hilchos Korban Pesach, certainly, Hishtadel. His lashon is, you have to what? Try. That you should not leave over the psara, the Korban Pesach, till the morning. As it says in the pasuk in Parshas Bo, what does it say over there? Lo tosir b'menu ad boke. Don't leave it over till the morning. So the fact of the matter is that even by a mitzvah, where there's a law, there's an equal commandment. What if you do if you leave it over? What's the din? You have to burn it. Correct? So that's a law involved. So you see apparently that what? That the word yishtadel does not necessarily mean the way we generally use it, let's say in the modern Hebrew. Maybe in modern Hebrew we say, lishtadel means to what? To try hard. So that means, okay, I tried hard, but I can't somehow hack it. Is that the language that you use? I can't handle it, I can't hack it, so okay, so I'm about there. I give up on Tzila B'Tzibra. Chas v'sholom. Moshe Feinstein holds the Chiyam Ikra Adin. And the fact, despite the fact that the Lashon that's used by the Mechaber is Yishtadel, it means that's an obligation. Now, I did mention one thing to you, that according to the, this I pointed out, in the, I said that there's a machlokes between the Mechaber, the Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, with Rebbe Sabzug the Zimra. Do you recall our discussing that? What do we say? Correct. It's the Sfardim. Matter of fact, I did mention, but I saw something very fascinating the other day. It's Siman Nun Beis. This is just an additional matter that I wish to add to what I mentioned earlier, to what you said now so beautifully. In Siman Nun Beis, when this is discussed, we have the following comment of the Be'er Heiteh. In Siman Nun Beis, Os Aleph, the Be'er Heiteh said the following. Now this needs a bit of historical background. There was a gentleman named Rabbi Joseph Caro. Who am I talking about? The one that I call the Mechaber of Shalom. What? What do you call him?
Be'er Yosef.
The Be'er Yosef, correct. Rabbi Yosef Caro was the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He's known as Maran HaMechaber. Okay? So this Maran HaMechaber, you know where he lived? Where did he live?
Cairo.
Where?
Cairo.
That was the Rambam who lived there. But not Rabbi Yosef. Yes, that was towards the end of his life. But before then, where did he live?
Spain.
Correct? Well, he is, I'm telling you, on a roll today beyond belief. Of course, he's a Kohen. That explains it. And a Kohen never sells even more of an explanation. Okay, so the Beit Yosef was actually, as you know, a Sfardi Tahor, unquestionably. And there's a Sefer that was written by the Beit Yosef called the Magid Meshorim. Apparently a Magid appeared to him. Now, you're talking to an Arch Litvak. How do you translate Arch Litvak? Someone who just the opposite of Chesky. He comes from a very rich and wealthy Hasidic background. And I come from a very not rich and not wealthy Lithuanian background. We're not into Kabbalah. We're not into school out. Not in entering any of that. Anyway, the Beis Yosef had a Magid that appeared to him. Do you hear this? Alex. He had a Magid. Somebody appeared to him, and then a Sefer appeared called the Magid Meshorim, written by the Beis Yosef. It's very interesting. The Beis Yosef has very little, even though he's a Sfardi, and he was exposed to Kabbalah unquestionably. In the Shulchan Aruch itself that he wrote, that the Beis Yosef that he wrote, which is a parish on the tour, there's very little Kabbalah. Almost non-existent. Okay? So now, just by way of background, this Magid appeared to the Beis Yosef. Are you with us?
Yeah.
I was also in Shlita. Baruch Hashem. You're looking very good today. Very chipper. So here, he quotes here in the Be'er Heiteh, Siman Nun Beis, the following statement. The Magid told the Beis Yosef he used to give him Musa. So one of the things the Maggid told the Beis Yosef, he told him, he warned him, Lava la Beis HaKnesset Vashkama, make sure you come early to davening, Kidei Sheyuchal Yispalo Kiseidah V'lo B'dilun. So you should not skip anything. Why? Because if you skip something, Mahapei Chatzinorot. I don't know what that means. That you have to ask Kasi. His background will be able to explain it to you. If you don't go the Fiyasega Kabbalistically, you're not operating properly. That's all I can say. I don't know what else it means. The literal translation, Mahapei Chatzinorot, he turned the pipes upside down. I will let you discover and discuss that with them, as opposed to my discussing it with them. Ad kidei kach, the Aruch HaShulchan, that you certainly heard of the Aruch HaShulchan, the famous posek, similar to Mishnah Berurah, he actually paskins, he calls from Mishonim, the Chachmei Kabbalah, that if someone skips something in davening, can he say it after davening? No. There's a say there. That's what we've been trying to discuss so far. A little bit. We started with Michas HaShachar. After Michas HaShachar, what did we go to? We went to Karbonos. After Karbonos we have? Excellent. Sukkah Zimmer. There's a say there. Correct? And yet, we just said, what is the Mechaber's position? Daniel just said it. What's the Mechaber's position regarding, if I come late, what can I skip? I'm allowed to skip? Suda de Zimra. In order to what? In order to daven Shmoneh Esrei together with the Tzibur. That's what Mishnah Berurah actually quotes here as well. Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tzadik. Sivkad Chavches, Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayodom, that in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moeis Betzilas HaTzibur, Hashem likes when we daven Betzibur, and the Ikad Tfilas Betzibur Shmoneh Esrei, 10 people should daven together, correct? The Ikad Tfilas Betzibur is not to hear Kadosh Kedusha and Baruch Hu. So it's amazing that even though the Mechaber Paskins, if I come late, I can skip through the Zimra, but the Be'er Hekne says that the Maggid told the Beis Yosef, don't you dare do that. Because if you do that, then you have to speak to Chesky. You are Mahapet the Tzinoros, you're turning everything upside down. Yes. Speak. Feel free to speak.
According to those who say that Psuget Zimra is not Daraisa, or
you no one says that Psuget Zimra is Daraisa. Nobody.
I'm saying that you could skip it.
Only the Mahapet. Mishnah Berurah does not pass like that. Not that you could skip the Chathila.
No, absolutely.
Come late. So then the halacha permits you because we want to make sure you daven for Nasi B'tzibur together with 10 other people. But not that you should skip it, Chas V'Sholom. But as our Soledic said, he called the Midas Chasidus. It's something which is a good thing to do and come on time and same thing with the Zimra, no question about it. But the Mechaber Paskins against the Ramon, against the Ashkenazim, and against the Mishkas Yaakov, and against the Mishnah Berurah, and against all the Ashkenazim Poskim, that you should not skip it. But according to Kabbalists, you have to do it. That's what the Maggid told the Beis Yosef. Go ahead.
So according to Mechaber, you said the Mechaber said that, that if you come late, you could skip it?
The Mechaber said that since the way Rav Soloveitchik explained it, that since it's a Midas Chasidus, correct?
Yeah.
How do I know it's a Midas Chasidus? Because of the Gemara and Shabbos. I don't know if I mentioned this Gemara. There's a stira in the Gemara and Shabbos called Kisvei. One Gemara says, Rav Yossi, he chelkim gomri halal b'chol yom. I want to say halal every day. My chelik should be with those who say halal every day. Then the Gemara says, kolom halal b'chol yom, haris in the chayav in the gadif. We say halal every day. You are guilty of what? A blasphemy. Isn't that a contradiction? My ox had a moron. It's an oxymoron. So what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara said one refers to Psukkah de Zimra. That is something that one should say every day. Because what does Psukkah de Zimra do? We spoke about it. Psukkah de Zimra essentially celebrates Hashem and His wonders in nature. Mashenka, the other halal that we say, if you say every day, you're called blasphemous, is the halal we say when? On Yom Tov, on the Chagim. Why is that considered to be blasphemous? Because that speaks about Hashem operating supernaturally. So the Rambam, when he quotes the Din of Psukkah de Zimra, he says, "V'shivchu chachamim that Chazal will meshavech someone who says Psukkah de Zimra." So from there, our salvation derived that it's what? Emias Chasidus. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Of course, the Chachil should say Psukkah de Zimra. Even the Mechaber agrees you should. But if you come late, you can skip it. According to the Rambam and according to the Ashkenazim, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishkas Yaakov, you can't skip it. You have to say minimally. Go ahead now.
Do we say that it's put in the beginning of Davin as like a buffer so you don't miss Shmoneh Esrei?
A buffer? Wow. A buffer. What do you mean by a buffer? There's like, something called a buffer zone.
Yeah, that's what I'm
So what do you mean by a buffer?
Wow. Zone.
When you zone. Buffer refers to buffing shoes?
Yeah, a buffer zone.
Shining? Why do you call it a buffer? I mean, it's a step in the direction of going to Shmanesa. You're 1,000% correct. But Kabbalistically, each step is critical. And each step is, shall we say, indispensable. According to Chachmei HaKabbalah, according to Kabbalists, you can't skip any of the steps. And that's what the Magid told the Beis Yosef. Come early, so you won't skip any of the steps. Even though I'm just trying to show you the kind of irony here, that from a halachic standpoint, the Beis Yosef is a halachic work. Rabbi Caro wrote a halachic work. The Shulchan Aruch is a halachic work. So he's telling you in halacha, in case you come late, you should go ahead and go to Birchas Kriya Shmona to make sure you daven Shmoneh Esrei Tzibur. But from a Kabbalistic standpoint, it is a taboo. It is a no-no. You have to daven Lefi HaSeder. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but so if it's not as important as like Shema and Shmoneh Esrei, why don't we, according to those who say that you could skip it if you came late, why don't we just start with Shema and Shmoneh Esrei set and then work our way there?
That's why I shouldn't mention these halachas. Dangerous. I am not saying it's not important. Chas v'shalom.
I'm saying in the order of davening.
I can't. It's like a build-up. The way the Gemara says in Brachas that you didn't get to yet, probably. The Gemara says that what should the person do is a seder. First, the person should engage in shevach, and then bakasha. And that's basically what we do. So the zimur shevach. Bechus kriyashma is like a kabbalz bach shemaim, and then comes bakasha nishmanese. So there's a kind of order. You're trying to build it up. Like Rashi quotes in Brachas, you get to it. Dalo on the base. Remember the Rashi? Rashi has two pshatim. Pshat number one, and Rashi explains Svichas Gula L'Tvila. You recall? Rashi, you know Svichas Gula L'Tvila? We connect the Brach of Gaal Yisrael to the Shmoneh Esrei. So Rashi has two explanations. One explanation says Rashi, Perek Yutes and Chof and Tehillim are juxtaposed. Hashem Tzuri V'Gali, Yam Hashem Yam Tzar. But Rashi has a second explanation. Of course, Yerushalmi.
There was an extension of the...
You're right, that's what Gula is, an extension of Tzvila. You're 100% correct. Gula and Tzvila are literally one continuum. But Rashi gives a mashal. Yerushalmi says mashal to someone who wants to see the king. So he travels a long, long distance. He travels mountains and travels and knocks on the door and then he runs for his life. That's what Rashi says. Oh, Rasul, I bet you got to feel there with that Rashi. Wow, wow. He wrote reams of Torah on that Rashi. Reams. R-E-A-M-S. What are reams? A lot of Torah. And that Rashi. His point being that there's a Seder. There's an order. First, the person has to travel long distances, engage in Shevach, acknowledge Hashem, recognize Hashem, and only subsequently can go ahead and beseech him for X, Y, and Z. Or as they say over there, from the Canadians, Z. I get a kick out of those Canadians. But anyway, so, chas v'shalom that I'm trying to poo-poo or downplay to the Zimra. But I'm trying to show you that even though Avyesid Kara was a Kabbalist, he's a Sfaradi Tahor, and he knew Kabbalah, and the Magid appeared to him, and he wrote a whole Sefer. Yet in Halacha, he tells you something which is lichora, slightly different than what the Magid told him. But I don't think it's a stira, there's no contradiction. There's never a contradiction between the Nistar and the Nigla, between the Darshan Baal Peh, if you will, of Nistar and the Tarshim of Sav of Halacha, there's no contradiction whatsoever. It's clear, the Chatchila, once you come to the Zimra, you come to the Zimra unquestionably. And you come even before, you come to Bechaz HaShachar, you're probably even before that, in order to make sure that you daven Bizman, like all of us. Why is he looking at me with that smile? Anyway, he has the smile of a Cheshire cat. Yes.
I should say, even if a person does skip within Psukhi Zimra, they still have done that step of Psukhi Zimra.
If he doesn't what?
I'm saying, even if one skips pieces of it, he still hasn't skipped the full
if,
step.
If, according to Mishnah Berurah, if you say, Baal Shama, Asher, and Yishtaba, because then you have the main pieces of Psukhi Zimra.
So I'm saying,
going to the Mechabi, you can skip the whole thing. That's what you're saying. But still, the Magid told the Beis Yosef, don't you dare come late to davening, make sure you say Psukhi Zimra, because Ashachar. And then, of course, it follows upon the heels because Hashach and Kabbalah, Sibzik and Zimra, etc., etc., etc. You know, there's a famous Hakira. You're probably familiar with that, I assume. Rabbi Baruch Be'er is the Hakira. You know Rabbi Baruch Be'er? He's from Kamenitz, or Shiv in Kamenitz. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Briska. You know Rabbi Chaim Briska?
I might have met him once.
Who's Rabbi Chaim Briska? Did he live in Toronto? My days he was in Toronto. How come your days he's not there? Chiddush Rav Chaim Halevi is in Toronto. So as far as I'm concerned, he's alive and kicking. Anyway, my sense of humor is a little bit. So Rav Baruch Be'er has a famous chakira. He wants to know, he quotes Rav Chaim Halevi, I think he says in Yavama somewhere. He points out that, you know, there are a number of dinim that require asara, that you need 10 people. A Mishnah Megillah. Are you into Megillah? Besides, you're into Megillah? Probably. What things require a minyan? Number one? Birchas HaTorah requires a minyan? Birchas HaTorah, unquestionably. Excellent. Next, what else?
Chazar
HaShatz. Chazar HaShatz. Beautiful. Wow, you're unbelievable. I'm literally... I'm incredulous. I don't know what else to say. Every single answer we've heard. I think we should switch places. What do you think? You don't think so? No, what? What else? Yes, I'm speechless. Exactly. He is an absolute one of the seven wonders of the world, the universe.
Which one
do
you replace?
What else besides Kriyas HaTorah? What else did you mention? Chazar HaShatz. What else?
Estimating how much.
What else needs a minion?
Something that needs.
I'm sorry?
To find out the worth of the land.
Kaddish. Excellent. Kaddish needs a minion, no question about it. Anything else?
Erech.
Baruch. What else?
Erech. To figure out an Erech. Something.
An Erech?
Erech.
Oh, you mean the Mishnah Sanhedrin? Oh, you're a cutie pie. He's a cutie pie. Mishnah Dabezim and Aleph. That's not exactly the same kind of 10 that I'm referring to over here. Okay, but more or less you are correct. So he asked the following question. You answer this question for me. Is the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, let's use Kriyas HaTorah, is it only chal when 10 people have gathered? Now we have a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. And as long as there are no 10 people, there's no chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah.
Or Mikra Megillah, Chazar HaShatz, whatever else you mentioned, Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch, etc. Or do we assume, no, that really the chiyuv is chal on each person. Each person mechuyav to read the Megillah. Each person mechuyav to Dabash Manesre. Each person mechuyav to... What else did we say? Correct. However, there's a problem. You can only do it with 10 people. It means, what are we asking? Is it a chayves yachid or a chayves tzibur? You hear what I'm asking? Is it an obligation upon a yachid or upon a tzibur? So you probably, what do you want to say? So, I'm sorry? So the reason why he says it, because of an afkamina. Whenever you have a chakira, you have to have an afkamina. What's an afkamina in this chakira? So Rav Chaim said an afkamina would be, I don't know if you're familiar with this halacha, that... if the dinner that requires dafka only when 10 people are gathered in one spot, then you go ahead and shall we say have chazar hashatz and have kriyas hamegillah. So then you all say, what did the dinner of rubo kikulo? Ever heard of the dinner of rubo kikulo? If I have a majority, it's as if I have the entire group. You won't say that because the chiyuv is chal dafka when there are 10 people. Mashenki, if you assume that what chiyuv is upon each individual, now so the halach is if you need 10, maybe if you have a rope, that's sufficient. So I'm just saying this because. It's very significant. And it has a halacha of relevance I can't discuss right now, but I want to just mention Derech Agav. I guess I'll continue this when? Oh, we're not going to be in session for a long time.
Now Wednesday?
Till when?
Wednesday,
thank you. Okay, so I'll try to remember what I'm doing, but I just want to add one last thing. Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say I'm sleeping in my bed and I miss Kriyas HaTorah. Am I able to go and gather a minion, put together a minion for Kriyas HaTorah? So if you're a Briska, the answer is yes. If you are someone else who's not from Brisk, but who comes from Shulchan Aruch land, and Taisis, and the Mishayim, you're not a Chiyuv. Because the Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah is only when there are 10 people gathered and you are there, then you're a Chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah.
So you're not a Chiyuv to go to the Minyan to hear it? Can I leave the Minyan?
You're asking an excellent question. So what's the answer? Of course the Chatchila you're obligated to.
Why?
Good question. You're saying it's a Chiyuv HaTzibur. If it's a Chiyuv HaTzibur, there's no Chiyuv. But we're mechuyev to be ishtadal, just like a person should be mishtadal to daven betzibur, we should also be mishtadal to daven betzibur to hear Kriyas HaTorah. The same mishtadel that I mentioned earlier applies here also. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah.
Does the requirement for a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah only refer to the Kriyas HaTorah like Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Yom, or does it also refer to, like, for example, Amalek? Can you read
it? Amalek is a din d'oraisa, according to many Mishnah.
No, but I'm saying, though, can you
read
the
mitzvah
of hearing from Zechir and Amalek from hearing it, even without a minyan?
The answer is yes. But there are Mishnah who dafka insist on a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. There, mid'oraisa, they say, you require a minyan. There's a famous Gemara in Brachos, which you are familiar with, but you probably get there yet. But here he is. He's a man. You probably are sorry now that he came here. I hope not. But the Gemara says that who was Meshachar Yezeved?
Rabban Gamliel.
Yes, his Eva's name was?
Atabi.
Excellent. Wow. He is a good man. Another one of the seven wonders of the universe. All right. He's from St. Louis. That explains it. But anyway, he was Meshachar his Eva. For what reason? Because he did it a minyan. For what mitzvah? Says the Rosh. Pasha Zocha. So he claims that for Pasha Zocha, you need a dafka minyan. Because Zocha is the creator of Isa. Okay, I'm going to lean together. And we're 3:30. So stopping. First, I want to wish everyone. Hashem should inscribe all of you for life, and you should be zochet to become outstanding bnei Torah. Tamidei Chachamim. Muflogin, you know what muflogin means? Outstanding. And halavai, dolei Yisrael should come out of you. Halavai. Okay, check off.